This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Did you ever think that you'd be stuck with me for the rest of your life? You do one movie with me. And you're like, this guy is the one I'm going to, the rest of, I can't, now we're stuck together.
Thank God. Well, first of all, if we say Bill and Syl, it's because Bill is for brother-in-law, B-I-L, and Syl is for sister-in-law, S-I-L.
Bill and Syl, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, forever, you're my Syl.
And you're the Bill to my Syl.
So I'm married to Drew's producing partner, Nancy Javonin, now Fallon. Nancy Javonin Fallon.
I think Nan, for myself, has always made me see my own potential. I want to try everything. I want to do it. I know I have this passion and perseverance, but it is not coming from ego or assumption. I think I have to earn everything. Yep. But when I met Nan, I felt like things were possible. Dreams were real. And I wonder if she made you feel that way too, because after we did Fever Pitch, you didn't want to act anymore.
I don't think that was all by choice. You've seen my acting face to face. I think the world spoke and go like, we're good. We're good. Anything else, Jimmy? What else you want to do?
No, I think that was you.
After Fever Pitch, I was just like, I think I grew up, you know, a little bit, and like I'm still growing up. And, you know, getting serious with Nancy. So I've never really gotten that serious and go like, hey, time to focus up. But she was clearly magical and awesome. And Nancy's the whole reason for doing the show from our home, because we left 30 Rock in our show. It was a Thursday, and I remember NBC canceled the audience that day. They said, no, definitely no audience, because this thing is real. And Nancy goes, what are you going to do? And I go, I don't know. She's like, I mean, you have to do something. So I go, yeah, I should do something. So Nancy held the sub, she directed me, and I was just talking to the, you know, an iPhone, but I really lucked out. I mean, I got her as a guest. That's the hardest guest I've ever had to get, ever.
Oh, yeah. I asked her to do our show, and she wrote me an email,
Hives?
It said this: know when I'm saying this, I have examined everything. I took every shelf off the box.
That's like saying, no offense, but
I went to the top of
you know
the mountain.
It's gonna be
offensive. I considered, I dissected, I lived as if I said yes, I lived as if I said no. I have worn this in every way possible.
This is
I could not have been more thoughtful. And I have to say, not only is my answer no, but please don't ever bring it up.
It's like she is so does not want to be on camera at all. Not even a remote bug of like, hey, this is cool. I'm like, I'm going to be, you know, seriously. So it was like when we had no guests and no one to talk to, I go, honey, maybe a little walk and talk. And everyone asks you some questions. She's like, okay, yeah, all right, good. All right, let's just go to bed now. I go, it's 5 o'clock. Let's stay a couple more hours. She's like freaking out. Every time we would have an interview, she would get so nervous and like, and sweaty palms and not know what she, but then when she does it, it's great, and people loved it.
You have pioneered 3 times now, 4 times now, in the talk show space. I think you didn't like acting because it wasn't enough. You couldn't do everything that you can do.
No, I think that, you know, the movie thing is just, I'm not built for it, you know, and it's a lot of work. you know? And I know that that's helped me with my show.
But I just think that you had too much in you. And I'm curious if I have my facts straight, because did Lauren tell you, and how long before did he tell you, that there might be a chance of taking over for Conan?
Yeah, that was Lauren. I was leaving SNL. I always wanted to stay only 3 seasons on Saturday Night Live because John Belushi did. And I was like, that's it, 3 seasons, that's it. So I went into Lauren, I go, I think I have to leave. Sorry, we had a good thing. And he's like, right, you have a contract for 6 years, so you're not leaving. Anyway, what else is on your mind? I go, well, did you hear I was gonna quit and everything? He's like, yeah, no. He goes, I think you should do Update, you know, whatever. And so we talked, and luckily, he's so right. He's always right. And I stayed and did, you know, 3 more years. But then after 6 years, I go, I think I should go, just because I'm friends with everybody. I'm friends with the crew. I'm friends with all the cast. I don't want to be one of those people that it becomes a job and you get crusty and you go, you're mad at something. And you go, I just had the best experience. Let's stop it now. And wow, I can't believe I was this lucky. And he goes, okay. He goes, you know, Conan is leaving in like 3 years or something like that. It was 6 years. He said, there was a weird contract he signed with Leno or something. Leno had 6 more years to The Tonight Show, and then Conan was gonna take over. Something bizarre like that. And I go, oh yeah. He goes, I think he'd be good at that. And I go, really? And Tina Fey was in the office too. And she goes, I think so too. She goes, you love people.
And you're still that person.
I love people, I love stories, I'm interested, I really am. So I said, great, I'll see you in 6 years, you know? And then 6 years later, he called me.
Do you think you ever forgot that he said that to you? Was it always on the back burner? And could any job match the potential of what that could let you do?
No, that's a great question. No way. This job let me do every single thing I could ever think of, ever, ever.
And I don't think anything was gonna work for you until that happened.
Yeah, interesting, I never thought about that.
When you took over Late Night, you knew what to do. When it came to a home show, you knew what to do. You knew when it was time to dress a little differently and take it into the office, so to speak, of a studio. But it's hard when people know things and they're capable and they've got every detail and they're managing it. I think sometimes that comes with a rigidity of like capability, but there's some type of like almost
stiffness or something where you just go, yeah.
You're like a loose goose, and yet you know exactly what to do, when to do it.
No, you know what? I have good people around me. That's it. That's the secret. You have talked to every step of the way on all these things you're talking about. Lorne, Nancy, you know, and honest people and good people. Surround yourself with good people. Every great person has said that, you know, so it's the truth. And no matter what age, whenever you figure it out, you go, oh. And I think a lot of people are figuring it out now. They go, oh, I don't have to hang out with my nephew, Larry.
Jesus, Corona is a real life editor.
I mean, right? Because, we don't have to do this anymore. This is not even rude if I leave here, because I don't even want to be here. You don't have to do it.
Is there a host out there that really speaks to you?
Johnny Carson, that would be my guy. He would do interviews, he would do song and dance. I mean, you know, you got to meet him. I mean, he's magic. He's like, you know, you can't really learn how to do this without really doing it. But Dick Cavett has a good book that you should read, it's good.
I know you love him, and I loved when you did a show in like Ode to Dick Cavett.
Remember that? We had the whole set from the show from the 70s.
I mean, nobody broke format the way you did. You had the Rolling Stones on and played their documentary. You changed everything. You changed what was possible and what people thought they could do. Research process, anything like particular that's very important to you?
I have really good segment producers. So a segment producer talks to the guests like before they come on, do the interview. So they kind of like try to get you like any good story, like how was your flight? And after doing this for 10 plus years now, I know everybody really pretty well. And I've seen them at their highs and the lows. So I also have personal stories where I'll talk to people now. And now I go like, hey, are you still collecting, troll dolls or something? You know, like, no, I'm out of, and then it sparks a thing, then it's a snowball. Then it becomes a giant, and it's great. I love when that happens.
You make it personal.
Yeah.
So you know the pace of SNL, you know the pace of movies, and you know the pace of talk shows. What am I in for? Am I fooling myself? I keep saying, I've been working since I was 11 months old, from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. every day, 5 days a week, night shoots on weekends. Like, I've got this.
I've seen you.
Am I wrong? Am I really wrong? I'm afraid I'm really wrong.
No.
I think for the first time I got cocky, and it's going to bite me in the ass so badly, Bill.
I couldn't think of a better person for this, Syl, than you. And honestly, you always go, not only just like, you never take the easy way out. You go, if I'm going to get from here to there, I'm going to work my way from here to there. And I know from being your family and your friend that how hard you work to get to this stage. I mean, it's nonstop. There's no one with a better work ethic than you. And you crush it. And you always do, no matter what it is. And so, yeah, this is a giant thing. It's a life change, but it's a good thing.
The thing that I said that I believed made me maybe potentially correct for this job was that when I was 7, I was in Tokyo, ET World Press Tour, and this woman shoved an autograph under the bathroom stall and was holding the paper out, and I was like, oh, life is about to really change from here on out. Like, there's the moment where you know things are gonna be different. And that somehow made me aware that how I spoke to people, like, was all exchanges. And that all those exchanges, if they could be filled with dignity and connectivity, then that was what was required, and that's what felt right, and that became my own personal standard.
Everyone's got a great Drew story. No one's got a bad Drew story. Everyone's like, oh, I met you at the thing, and you're so nice to me and nice to my kids. I mean, I've been around you when that happens.
But you're the same person. You care about everyone. You're interested in everyone. I read this thing in a book. It said, listen to people, for they have their stories too. I was 14, and it was like all these little breadcrumbs have led me to be someone who absolutely does love to engage, does believe in the respect of people, does believe an exchange has an opportunity to have positive energy.
Yeah, and we're probably having the same problems you are. No matter how awesome their life looks, there's something where it's not, no one has a perfect life. Someone's like, yeah, I'm going through the same thing, and you go, what? I thought you were just all, everyone's got a story and everyone can relate. We're all, I was talking to someone the other day and said, there's water in all of us. There's water in the earth. And it was like,
90% were water.
It just got so deep. I was like, okay, this is the best party I've ever been to.
Yeah.
But I was like, it was a Zoom part.
You pioneered when you came on Late Night. There was no social media in TV. There was no viral clips that everybody aspires to now. You had games, people were not doing that. You brought song and dance and variety, and most hosts cannot bring that. They just don't have that skill set. They have different ones and everybody has theirs, but you were like a triple threat with that. And you just seemed to put it all together in this very large mosaic and tapestry, but that we wrap ourselves up in. And I just know that you've made the world a more innovative, safer, and better place. And I love you. And I love everything you've done, and I love everything you've put out there, and that doesn't even go into the SNL category, which is, oh my God, I just,
that's
what did,
so nice.
I know, oh
that's
my
so
God.
Nice, but like, wouldn't it be funny if Oprah was sitting behind me? It's like, okay, now this makes, okay, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry.
I think one of the hardest I've ever cried in my life was at your wedding. Like, I was having a major problem because I was convulsing so hard. I was worried I was ruining it.
I would have, no. I was staring, I was staring at?
Kermit the Frog.
So at our wedding, we had a tiny wedding, but we had a videographer at our wedding. And so they knew that our wedding song was Rainbow Connection.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it'd be funny to surprise us. You don't surprise anyone on their wedding. Just what? I don't even like surprises in general. Definitely not a surprising one on their wedding. And so I'm coming down the aisle first, I guess, just to you get ready, and then Nancy's gonna be walked down by her dad. And I go there and I get to the front, and there's a Kermit the Frog doll in the front row.
Yeah.
Like flopped in there. Like there's a puppet with no hand in it. Nancy's coming in and I'm welling up. Like, she looks beautiful. And then the corner of my eye, there's a Kermit the Frog doll. Just zapping all the romance. Zapping all the romance out of the wedding. I'm like,
it's so bold.
And I go, what is going on? It's like sticking, you might as well stick it to the back of Nancy's dress. I just go down the aisle. There's a Kermit the Frog like strapped to the back with suction cups, like the Garfield in the minivan. And then we got the video. There's 30 shots of Kermit the Frog Easter eggs hidden in our...
Do you have a dream guest that still hasn't done the show?
There's many things. I wish I asked Prince to do a sketch, because he was funny, and he liked me, and we always got along, and I know he would have done one, you know, but he just, at the time, you go like, he's Prince, and I don't want to mess with him, but he was always funny. He liked me, and so he would make jokes, and like, in his Prince way, and he had a great sense of humor. He borrowed Kirk's guitar once from the Roots, and Kirk was honored, and he's playing his guitar, and he's just awesome, you know, he's Prince. And when he's done, because his guitar tech was late or something. Isn't that hilarious? You're a guitar tech for Prince, and you're late.
Oh, God.
Anyways, at the end, he finishes the thing, takes the guitar off, throws it. There's no one there to catch it, because the guitar tech is late. The guitar breaks. Kirk's like, what the? You know, and Prince is just acting cool. You know, he just walks off. And then they're like, dude, you just broke like Kirk's guitar. And
Kirk's like, A, that was my guitar. B, I wanted to have that guitar after you played it.
That's the whole point of it. Yeah, now it's a coaster. It holds his beer cans. Prince felt so bad and got it fixed and repaired. And, you know, he was like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? Like, he assumes that's his life. You throw the guitar.
Right, someone's there to catch it.
No. And so, but he was funny. And so... it's those things you look back and you're like, ah, you missed that one, you know? But, you know, probably the real answer would be probably Nancy's mom. I'd like to have her look at me and talk to me and say like, hey, that's who your daughter married. She's good. Do you edit this out or add more tears? One or the other. But yeah, I'd say probably just to let her know who I am and who her daughter fell in love with, and that she has grandkids, and there's so many things, you know.
I hope it's okay to say this, but I'm convinced that Pam couldn't be happier.
Are you gonna do this to people? Is this what your thing is?
This
is what's gonna happen? Come on, dude. Where's the Kermit the Frog? I need something.
I need to just, do
in
the
case
Kermit.
It gets too heavy. I need to have the doll with the no hand. I need to have the puppet somewhere. Just so you go, okay.
Can I quickly take a... oh, my God.
My mother made a scrapbook.
Oh, my God.
No, there's much worse. That's me as Gene Shalit for Halloween.
I loved Gene Shalit.
Every kid was dressed as Gene Shalit for Halloween. You couldn't turn the corner without some kid dressing as the movie critic Gene Shalit.
Oh, my God. Oh, was that on SNL?
That's SNL, and I'll tell you why it's cool. This is the last year Edie Baskin, who's a legendary photographer for SNL,
yep,
retired after my season, but you could tell it's an Edie Baskin photo because look into my eyeballs, see that woman and standing in front of the light? That's,
yes!
That's Edie. So from my photo to Gilda's photo to Garrett Morris to Eddie Murphy to, name it, Edie Baskin's behind in their eyes.
I was lucky enough to, I believe, get an Edie Baskin photo.
She's
from
the
1982.
She's the coolest.
Still the youngest.
That's right. Now, who's that Latin superstar? Because I love his work.
Living la vida
loca. I mean,
loca.
What soap opera is he on?
I love it. Oh, but going back to like the 50s.
Gel was on sale. And they said a little depth will do you, but I did a lot of depth.
Your dad still looks exactly the same. Like, that could be Jim last month.
It does look exactly the same, doesn't he?
Like, he exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't do nothing yet. Nothing different. He looks exactly the same. And he loves you and so proud of you.
I love him so much too, and I just love getting to like hang out and talk to him because I know song is gonna break out.
Oh, he's got us harmonized with everything. I mean, the guy harmonizes with a doorbell. Ding dong, ding dong.
I love it,
is
Gloria.
That a good photo?
She's like, I'm gonna do the pots.
And this is the time where you only had 10 pictures on your phone. So someone thought that was important.
I love it. Piazza Mianginelli.
Wait, this is my modeling career. This is me. That's a Calvin Klein model.
Seriously?
That's not the reaction.
Oh God, I'm the most gullible.
The reaction is, yes.
I bought
it. No, what do you mean gullible? I was.
Really?
Again, not the reaction. Yes.
Well, I
was a supermodel. What is the problem?
Oh yeah, let's see the Calvin Klein ad.
Oh, we'll see the Calvin Klein ad.
Oh, I'm embarrassed now. I totally remember that.
Do you remember this dude?
Absolutely. It was the weirdest little picture. I couldn't see it. That I remember.
This guy shows up at a party. He's like, no problem. I'm just looking at a beautiful sunset. No, explosion.
Finish this sentence.
Okay.
There have been 6 hosts of The Tonight Show. I want to be remembered as the one who...
did the most with it.
There he is.
I think they'd all be psyched that we have the internet and all this stuff now, that Steve Allen would be like, you did what with The Tonight Show? You gotta be kidding me. There's people in, Dubai watching me. This is like, it's bigger than what anyone thought this would be. It's a tiny little show, you know, and now it's global. I think everyone, if they were alive, and everyone who is alive, they go, this is great. You're doing the most of what you can make of this show. You're doing it.
Thank you.
Drew, we need you. Everyone needs you. They need the show. This all makes sense. And everyone's so lucky they get to see this. You're awesome. And we need this. We need something. We need something. We need you. We need Drew.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.